Welcome to the Business Vitality Podcast. My name is Catherine Canty. I am the host and an executive coach. I work with teams, individuals, and leaders to help create measured leadership change. We do that using practical application, and our clients are creating 100% measured results as seen by those around them. Not necessarily what I think or what they think, but what the other people are seeing. And they are being recognized for the hard work that they're doing. If you're interested in learning more about some of the work that we're doing, you can learn more at CatherineCanty.com. I would love for you to subscribe to this show, to Business Vitality. This is my way to continue to pay it forward and share business best practices. Stay tuned and listen to the interview. Thanks for being here.
Maxwell Ivey, you are the blind blogger and accessibility expert found on the web at theaccessibilityadvantage.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for having me. I always appreciate the opportunity to get to share with other people's audiences.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to be able to do this. And I'm just going to kind of start high level. Tell me a little bit about the Accessibility Advantage.
Right. Well, it started because I am one of these people who tries to see everything in a positive. And I discovered that I could get website and app owners and developers to make the changes I needed to accomplish the tasks that I was trying to accomplish at any one point by giving them a good reason to do it. So I decided that if I will explain to people why they should care, then they're more likely to listen to me when I tell them how they need to make changes in order to make my life easier. And, you know, with accessibility, I think the two most important things people need to know is one, a lot of things that are good for accessibility are also good for search engine optimization. They're also good for usability for everybody else that will visit your website, your app, your blog, or your social media posts. So creating accessible and inclusive products, services, and content is good for everybody. That's most important. And then the other thing is by making the effort, and the effort is key. It's not necessarily the results, although there are some web standards, but to me, the most important thing is to make a sincere continued effort. You give yourself the opportunity to reach a huge market, a mostly untapped market of highly loyal consumers who will advocate for brands and businesses that make the effort. I like to say that when you include people with disabilities in your design process, it's like hiring influencers that you won't ever have to pay.
That is a great point. And you know, so a lot of people, they may not be aware of what opportunities are out there, what a huge untapped market that is. Do you happen to know?
Right.
What the size is, just to help other people kind of get their head around it?
Sure. The actual numbers are still a little murky. But in general, it's believed to be over 1 billion people globally and growing as more people accept and acknowledge their disabilities. It's also accepted that at least 60 million people in the United States alone live with a disability, if not with multiple disabilities.
Okay. So if we're looking at inclusion and accessibility, and you used a great word in there, SEO optimization. A lot of people want to learn about this, and it is making efforts to try to be more inclusive. Tell me a little bit about that. Like, how does one get started? How do we even know? Because it's overwhelming just to program a website and get my name typed out correctly. So do you have a few pointers, or what are your thoughts?
Right. So, yes, accessibility is challenging, partly because of the number of disabilities and the wide variety of technology. So here are some things that you can do that are very simple and that also will help your website with everybody else. Most importantly, simple design is always best. The fewer items on your homepage or on your secondary pages, the less graphics, the fewer items that start automatically, like slideshows, videos, audios, animations, the fewer of those things you have, the better. You know, you want to go with a very simple, clean design, which is something I'm glad to see a lot of webmasters have been starting to embrace anyway. You want to give as much as possible. You want to have a wide color palette, because quite often with people who have dyslexia or other learning disabilities, or people who are using screen magnification, the color contrast is incredibly important to their user experience. And a lot of times, even just making sure you're using very simple text. For example, some of the prettier fonts for text on a screen can be an accessibility issue. So I would say keep it clean, keep it simple, stick with the basic things, even if your webmaster is telling you that it's kind of plain looking. I would say make your impression with your words, with your audio, and with your video, as opposed to the website where your words, audio, and video reside. That's a big one. And there's what's called alternative text tags. And most website development tools, most content management systems like WordPress and Drupal and GoDaddy, most of these now have a thing that will prompt you to add what's called the alternative text. And that basically tells a screen reader user like myself what the image I am or would be looking at if I could see it. It tells me what that image looks like, or it gives me a thumbnail description of it at least, so I can have an idea. But the really important part about alt text is if you link an image to a button or to a link, and that image doesn't have that descriptive text for the screen readers, that button or that link doesn't exist. So you've basically hidden the link or button that was probably there so somebody could buy something from you or sign up to your list. You've hidden it from a bunch of people that may be visiting your website.
Okay, so make sure I understand this, because I'm not the expert, you're the expert. So if you have an image, you want to be able to use that alt text tag on the image.
Exactly.
And then it makes it more accessible for people to see it, how they would see it through the text. And then it would take them to the next page or to wherever that link takes you. Otherwise, it doesn't really exist.
Exactly. You got it. And apparently I explained it correctly, because sometimes I don't do that as well as I should. I tell you another simple one that a lot of people get wrong because they're just in a hurry is the labels for your links and buttons. You know, if you've got 7 links on a page, I should be able to tell right away what each of those links takes me to. But I can't tell you how many times I visit websites, even now, where those links all have the same name or they have numbers that tell me nothing. And if I care about the person who owns the website or about the product, I may decide to do the trial and error and figure out where those things take me. But most people are just going to go, well, let me see if there's another website out here I could use that I wouldn't have to make as much effort in order to find what I'm looking to find. So even things as simple as making sure your labels on your buttons, your links, are descriptive. Another place where people run into a lot of trouble is they try to create their own forms. And of course, forms are critical because they always lead to an action, whether that's a sale, an email sign up, a podcast subscription. And so you don't want to make those hard on people. And I can't tell you how many times a site owner will try to build their own form instead of using one of the established form builders. So I would highly recommend, if you're not very familiar with accessibility and you're not very familiar with building things in at a coding level, then just use what's already out there. Google Forms, Gravity Forms. Microsoft has a couple of options, but I'm not as big on Microsoft because I'm mostly a Mac user. And actually, the fact that a large majority of screen reader users are Mac users speaks to their level of accessibility, because in order to use the Mac, we generally have to pay a lot more for it, but the accessibility level is so much higher than the Windows options that it turns out to be worth it for most of us. So when you're creating a form, if you have the ability to test it, then do that. If you don't, then try to find people in your community who might be willing to test it for you. And now, while I am an accessibility expert and I am obviously wanting to recruit clients, I also want to make this easy on y'all. So there are several products out there. One I'm familiar with called Waves. You can run your website and it'll do an automated checker. Another one is at audioeye.com. Full disclosure there, I am a contributing writer to their website and I do get paid for my articles. But those are two that I know that work really well because they were built with input from people who actually have the disabilities and live with them online on a daily basis. So that's another thing people can do is just run a simple check and see how accessible your website is. And in many cases, your website's not going to be as bad as you think it is. And most of the things that are going to need to be fixed are things that won't take you a lot of time to fix, or things that if you have a webmaster won't be very challenging for them to fix. It's really a matter of identifying the issues, because one thing I have learned, and I want to let other people know this, because as a person with a disability, I do not think y'all hate me. I don't think there's any malice involved in this at all. I just don't think people know. And of course, especially for small business people, even for enterprise level companies, there's just not enough time in the day. And sometimes you just ignore things, or you prioritize other things more highly. So I would suggest using a free checker. There are also automation plugins you can use for a website. Just the main thing is, if you're going to use those, make sure they were developed with help from people who are disabled, and make sure that you're not depending on it to be 100% fixed, because at least as far as today in 2024, there is no automation that can replace the human review of a website and get you to 100%.
I think that's great feedback. And it sounds like you're creating a lot of influence with people around you. And, you know, in business today, we have to do a lot of listening in order to create influence. And it sounds like you're doing that a lot with your business. Do you mind maybe sharing a story or two about how you really had to kind of listen and hear somebody out in order to create that influence that you were looking to create?
Well, as far as listening to the other person, I've been in many situations where I had a particular issue with a website, because quite often I become a consultant after interacting with a website or an app that I had personal issues with, because by approaching the site owner in a non-threatening, positive manner, quite often you can begin to build a relationship that can lead to them deciding to hire you if and when they actually need somebody. I think a perfect example of that is with PodMatch, which I believe is where we met, a website to match podcast hosts and podcast guests using artificial intelligence. And I had known the owner, Alex Sanfilippo, for several years and had been using the app, but had to get a lot of help from them in order to use it. So it's been really cool to see how the friendship led to the work, and then also how over time we were able to have them do less and less for me. So I think the thing that I like to focus on is, what is the main thing of a website and how can we accomplish that main thing? For PodMatch, the main thing is getting your information out where people can see you so they can decide whether or not they want to have you as a guest or be on your podcast, and then to go through the booking process to the recording part. And if that meant in the beginning that I had to let them create my profile for me or edit my profile, then, you know, that worked. And I am a big believer in done for you or done with you as an accessibility option. And I really feel like one way a lot of website owners could avoid a lot of the fear around accessibility is to create a more open way for people with disabilities to communicate with them through not only customer support, but also in any forms you have. I love websites that require me to submit images, for example, where they'll have a link beside that says, for people using adaptive technology, please just email your photos to this address. along with your screen name, and we will take care of all the work of making sure they get uploaded and properly formatted so they look great on our website. So those are some of the things. I have also been part of NEPRIS, which is an online education platform. And there again, in 2018, when I started working with them, it was pretty much inaccessible. They had to create my profile. They had to notify me when teachers were looking for a talk that I was knowledgeable about, and then they had to book my talk for me. So I would say the biggest thing is find somebody you can have this conversation with who has a disability, or find a company that represents a lot of people with disabilities. You can have that conversation, because if you make the most important thing the goal, then there are always ways that you can find a solution for that goal. So if your ultimate goal is to sell people merchandise or to sell them books or to sell them your business, then you want to focus on that one thing. And how do I make this as easy as possible for somebody who may or may not have a disability in order to go through the process to the point of making a purchase and then being a satisfied customer.
Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And in our emails, you know, you talked about, business viability. And I think where I've really had to listen to people has to do with being in this business in the first place. And, you know, I sometimes get ribbed or made or, you know, poked fun at because I'm a little more authentic than a lot of other people will be on a podcast interview. But I had to listen to people who were telling me that, you know, Max, you've been doing this for 15 years, every day of your life as a business owner online. And whether you know it or not, you are the expert. And it was only when people started approaching me to ask me to be a contributing writer, to ask me to record videos or create content for them in some other way. It was only when people started asking me if they could hire me to review their website that I finally said, you know, I am this person. This is my business. And since I'm doing the work anyway, I might as well be getting paid for it. You know, that was where I really had to listen to my friends, to the industry, to other people I've done business with, and also to myself, because I had to listen to myself and go, well, Max, why are you resisting this so much? Why do you not want to be an accessibility? And it turned out it wasn't that I didn't want to be. It's not that I don't enjoy the work, because I love the work. I love the idea that I get to help make the lives of anywhere from thousands to millions of people better by improving the quality of websites and apps online. That is a big thing. I love that. But the thing was, it wasn't where I planned on being 5 years ago. And, you know, if you end up somewhere that wasn't where I really wanted to be, but it's a great place to be, you can still be a little unhappy with it or a little resistance to it.
So do you think it was a mindset shift for you?
Oh, definitely. 100%. I had to.
That's a big deal in business. Talk about the mindset shift, because a lot of people can relate to what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was, and you know, part of it was just really accepting. I guess I should mention that I have throughout my career have had a little trouble accepting. Usually people in my community know that I'm good at something 2 years before I know it. So it's really important to have a good community of people who will nag, who will push, who will eventually force you to look at things in a different way and see if what they're seeing is actually correct. But yeah, it's like, am I really this knowledgeable? Do I really know this stuff? Because I don't have any formal training. I don't have certifications. I don't have a college degree in computer science. You know, a lot of the quote stuff that somebody would usually have to be an expert, I don't have that. But what I do have, and what it was pointed out to me, is I have over 15 years. I've been online so long that my first website, I had to teach myself how to code HTML to get it online. It doesn't get no more inaccessible than HTML. Trust me on this.
I remember working with HTML. I did not do well with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually thought I had an advantage because I didn't have to look at the characters. I just had to listen to them. but, you know, it was like, you know, Max, we come to you for your advice. You are the expert. And it was just one of those things. It was really hard to accept that, especially when you start looking around online and you look at people who have been doing it as a profession for a while and you look at their pedigrees, which is why, you know, one of the most dangerous things we could do for ourselves is to compare ourselves to other people, you know.
Talk about that. I think that's really important because really what I have found working with some other people, and I've heard them say this, that if we could just work on making ourselves better and we compete with who we were yesterday to who we are today, there really is no competition. What are your thoughts around that?
Right. And the funny thing about all of this is I'm generally known as one of those people who doesn't think about it too much, who just goes ahead and does things. In fact, there have been many times in my life where people have been, Max, how do you actually just start doing something and how do you overcome the fear of that? And that's a whole other conversation. But I have a really good story about this. In 2016, a friend sent me an application for the Amtrak Writers in Residence competition. And it's defunct now, but at one time they would pay writers to travel around the country and work on some sort of a writing project. And they said, Max, you should apply. You're always looking for a way to go somewhere free, which is true. Who doesn't? So I went and looked at it and I started reading it. And at first I thought, you know, this would be cool. And then I made the mistake of clicking on the past winners. And I read, you know, somebody had their play produced at Summerstock and somebody had 3 Amazon bestsellers. And I just, you know, half a dozen people's profiles later, I'm like, man, Max, you ain't, this is not, this is not you. And then I started thinking, you know, pretty much your entire career has been about asking for things or doing things before you were ready for them. So even though I didn't feel ready or worthy, I went ahead and filled out the application and they accepted me. They gave me a trip to New York City that became part of my third book where, you know, I talked about how I got there and what I did while I was there. And, you know, a lot of the things that went into that trip going all the way to New York City by myself, especially during the times of the first Trump election, which were kind of scary times in New York. So I've basically had, it's hard. It's really helpful if you have a community of people, or if you even have just one really good friend who can call you out and make you at least consider doing something like this. But at the end, I decided, okay, I'll apply and see what happens. And for the most part, that's been my mantra. My dad taught me from an early age. He's like, Max, actually he would say Maxie because he's a senior. I'm a junior. He'd say, Maxie, if you don't ask, they can't say yes. Now stop complaining about it and ask them, you know?
I think that is perfect advice. You've talked about a lot of really good stuff. The community, it sounds like you've got a great community built around you. And, you know, we all know that great success doesn't just come from one person doing one thing by themselves. It's a community. Do you mind talking about the importance of community for you?
Well, it is very important. Sometimes I think it's more important for me because of my disability, but then other times I think it's one of those things. It's just really critical for everyone. And I think the really challenging part for a lot of people is they just don't understand how somebody can build a strong relationship with people that they've never met in person before. Because most of the people that have supported me, encouraged me, challenged me, called me out, have been people that I've connected with online, and those, you know, simple initial meetings turned into friendship over a period of time. Some of my best friends came from leaving comments on people's blogs or podcasts, which I was generally doing to promote my website for the backlinks, but quite often I end up having conversations that led to friendships. And there are people who I had never met in person, but I have met since which is always really cool to get to meet somebody that you've known for a while online. And I would just say connecting with people, whether it's online or in person, it just comes down to being the kind of person other people want to like, that they want to help, that they want to do business with. And I have to be very thankful to my dad and to other people in my life over the course of, you know, however long I've been alive, that I was raised as somebody who, you know, does the things that make other people want to like them. And I don't say that to brag, because it's not nothing to brag about. It's part of my personality, who I am. And, you know, honestly, after over 15 years online, a lot of the things I've done, I wouldn't have been able to do or wouldn't be able to continue doing without these people that I've met. So, you know, Alex Sanfilippo at Podmatch, Adrian Smith here in Houston, who's about to move now into my neighborhood, which is cool. Lorraine Regulie, who edited my books from Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada, you know, Chip and Pam Edwards from North Carolina, people from all over the world, you know, Chris Cowden from the UK, people that I've met in various opportunities that have become friends that I can share and I can get feedback from. But, you know, it requires being a good friend. It requires being willing to give other people advice or help when they ask for it. And it also means being really open and honest. And even on the internet, even in emails, that's still a hard thing for most of us to do.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Podmatch a few times, and I want to give a shout out because I think Alex is fantastic. I found him a number of years ago, and I love how Podmatch, you can either be a guest, strictly a guest, or you can have a podcast and you want to find guests, or you can be both. Yep. And that's kind of how it got me into this, is I was just curious, what is this like? And so I started as a guest, and I thought, I kind of like sharing stories. This is fun. And it's, for me, it was easier than typing up anything.
Exactly.
And I liked it. So I thought, this is cool. Let's do this. And then I thought, wow, using Podmatch, I got on within 6 months, 25 different guest spots. And I thought, you know, maybe I want to do my own show. And so 4 years ago, I started my own show, and it was because of Alex and Podmatch and just kind of playing around with it, kind of like what you're saying. And I'm so glad to hear that he was so open. He really is. He's just a really good guy. He's open, he's helpful, he's supportive, and I'm excited for what he's building. And, you know, it's just another testament to the work he's doing. And then that old saying that, and I can't remember how it goes, but, you know, people are just always watching. And here we are talking about Alex, and he doesn't even know about it. But, you know, he showed me kindness, he showed you kindness, and, you know, yeah, 4 or 5 years down the road, we're still talking about Alex and the kindness that he shows to other people. So he's just, yeah, a good person.
Yeah. Somebody should coin the phrase, kindness is capital. I think if people started, yeah, thinking about kindness as if it was worth something other than just doing it for doing it, who knows, maybe more people would get it. And speaking of Alex, he is a really awesome person. His wife, Alicia, is special as well. Yeah. And, you know, he posted on LinkedIn just this week about how podcasters that are using his platform, many of them are making more money from interviewing people for their podcast than they're going to make from advertisers, especially for new and relatively new shows. I mean, who would think of a way where their website, instead of keeping all the revenue for themselves, that they would use some of that revenue to pay people who are hosting podcasts, who interview guests from their platform on those podcasts. I mean, just think about how many podcasts, you know, because in the beginning, you know, if you get an extra 20, 30, 50 bucks from somebody, for most people, that's a big deal, you know? And if you get an extra 20 or 30 bucks a month, that pays your website hosting and your podcast hosting right there. So yeah, it is some amazing things they are doing there at Podmatch. And there's one other thing I was going to say, but now it's escaping me.
Well, I have to tell you, I love the advice that you're talking about, because the advice what I'm hearing is, you know, for your website, keep it simple, keep it clean, less graphics. You taught us a little bit about the alt text and how that works. I love what you shared about the point of view and creating influence. I love your mindset shift that you share, the importance of community, and then kindness is capital. I love that quote. So, and then your dad's quote, ask before you're ready. And I really appreciate you sharing stories. And I feel like you may have an offer for the listeners that are listening.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. So for anybody that wants to find out more about me, they can go to theaccessibilityadvantage.com. But if after listening to our conversation, you want to know more about how accessible your website is or isn't, then I want you to send me an email or use the contact form on my website and say that you heard me here. And I will be more than happy to review the main page, let's call it the homepage of your website or your blog, and let you know just where you stand on at least that much of your platform.
That sounds fantastic. Max Ivy, you are the blind blogger and accessibility expert found on the web at theaccessibilityadvantage.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Catherine, so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the episode. If you like it, please subscribe, share this episode or this show with other people around you. The greatest form of a compliment is a referral. I really appreciate them. And if you think that you want to learn more about some of the work we're doing, I encourage you to reach out to CatherineCanty.com. You can schedule a call or just continue to read articles and information that we post out there. Thank you so much for being here.